Yeah.
Do you remember who did what motions?
Who made what?
So I'm thinking.
Did you see the minutes?
Yeah, but I was looking at that going, man, I don't remember who did what.
If they get one, who's.
Because we don't have any names.
But you know, Stan cares to bring that very.
Well, Eric wasn't here.
Isn't this the one where.
In the new America, I think more of us are watching anyway, what we're spending, so I can't imagine.
No, the recorder was here, it just wasn't Linda.
My other recorder this week.
But not only that, but the actual recorder didn't work.
Here.
Oh, it didn't.
Brian.
Just three meetings.
Oh.
Entrance.
Protect your partner.
I like it that way.
I was waiting for her to say, let's go, and she was waiting for me to say, let's go.
There was a time, I'm not sure, maybe you guys still do it, there was a time men used to, crossing the street, they used to protect the.
Oh, yeah.
Woman, and then they would switch when they got halfway across, so that then.
One of the many reasons.
Those cars are the other group.
Well, they would walk on the outside, so that the carriages would.
No, not really smack me, but just kick me. Oh, don't.
Because they'd get splashed on.
Well, then I'll feel better. I told my aunt, she's like 77, she goes, oh, you did it. And I said, oh, my gosh, I'm sorry. I said, bitch, caught up with me being up all night at the hospital that night.
All right, tell us when you're ready, Linda.
I will.
Okay.
Gotta catch up first, no.
They're actually working, I think they got them all fixed.
Like Czech Republic, we kept wanting to go to this penny.
Yeah, it's right.
It's our dive store, it's like a little food, inexpensive.
Yeah.
And even their cheap chocolate.
That's why we built this building, because Mike didn't like it.
But I can't tell you.
I go, oh, great, we're gonna have to build another new building.
And then we found out that several people.
Barry goes, oh, we'll just get the mics fixed.
Yeah. Come on.
Guess what? We can do it in cars, can't we? I don't think that should really.
Well, we did bond, there were some things that we could reimburse for.
I have gum.
Like the police impact fees and the court impact fees, so we did bond for those.
I'm so excited. So we heard what happened with the minutes.
I have million. There's some homes that are not more than this place.
Do we now?
Bruce's home.
That's gonna be the hardest thing to figure out, because I wasn't there.
Well, it says here, you were there.
You called the meeting.
Sorry, my laptop's really.
Isn't that right, Bruce? Your home costs more than this city hall building.
I don't think so.
I will drive separately next.
The recorder thing got fixed?
$5 million home?
Yeah.
No, I'd have a pool in my basement, I'd.
Yeah.
I'd have the whole neighborhood.
A myriad of.
He doesn't have a pool in his basement, but he's had a deer in his basement.
I had a deer in my basement.
No.
You could just start your own man cave.
I don't know if fiddling.
But you have a pool.
That was a healthy discussion.
Better than a pool.
It needs to say unbalanced, and it had been changed.
Yeah, well, I just saw the mayor come in, so.
But it was recording, was not what was coming from the mic, so.
Oh, Len's here.
That's the biggest key.
Will it be part of our meeting, or do we close our meeting?
We close it.
Home's out there, so, spreading vicious rumors.
We waited for you, Mayor.
Yeah, we waited.
Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that Brian and I were late, so.
Yeah. We're just kidding.
We would have waited for you, but they, we would have waited for you, but we didn't have to.
Stuart's fault. Good, I didn't stay up all night, I didn't think about that.
Well, my daughter came home, she was on oxygen.
It's still.
It's still going, yeah.
I need to get my computer, probably.
Be updating.
Updated, yeah, that's.
We're waiting on the recording.
The technology.
It is a game changer for the city.
Water. She can't swallow.
No, I walked 4 miles down.
Thick drinks.
Or else.
Because of the very small test showed that she was gonna aspirate.
Stuff going up.
Well, let's die, because we don't have oxygen.
It's great.
Is it ready?
Go ahead, Chairman.
You know what was interesting?
We're ready.
Ready?
Okay. Want to welcome everybody to the North Salt Lake Planning Commission meeting for March 26, 2013. We begin every meeting with anybody in the audience that wants to make any, ask any questions or any public comments that are not on the agenda. Nobody wants to do that. Okay, so we'll go to item number two. We'll have a consideration of a site plan and conditional use permit for Newport Tool located at 735 North, 700 West. Kevin Kumia is the applicant. Hi, and Allie's gonna give us the.
Thanks, Eric. We've got Nate Lechenberg here representing Kevin Tumia. I guess that's how you say it. So this is Newport Tool is a business in the city that's located currently on the other side of Redwood Road that manufactures custom tools for the medical industry. The primary use of this property would be for fabrication of the tools and for storage of their equipment. The proposed building, so there's a current building on site, as you can see on this location map. That building's never received a certificate of occupancy. It just has a few small corrections that need to be made, and then they can occupy that building as well. So they're proposing to add an additional building here at the west of the property. That's approximately 9,856 square feet in size. It's going to be a masonry building with, of course, anti-graffiti coating on the west wall. And there's a bay door at the front of the building on the east, right here on the plan, for freight deliveries. And the loading zone in front of the door won't conflict with any fire access or anything around this existing building. It's been reviewed by the fire marshal. They're also requesting, in addition to the site plan approval, they're requesting a conditional use permit approval for a reduction in the number of parking stalls on the site. It's just too tight on this site to supply the amount of parking stalls that are in the code. And there is a way in the code that allows you to grant the Planning Commission to grant a conditional use that would reduce that amount of parking stalls. And I quoted that in your staff report, where it states that the Community and Economic Development Director, in conjunction with the Planning Commission, can determine the minimum required off-street parking requirements by conditional use, being guided by the requirements which are in the code. So, of course, the closest thing that's in the code for their parking would be the manufacturing, processing, or assembly, and general office and warehouse uses. That would require them to have 28 parking stalls. They're proposing 22 on the site, including one ADA compliant parking stall. Actually, there's two on there, it looks like, on the plan. So they're asking for that reduction for several reasons. One, because the site is tight, as I mentioned, they have to have that fire access all the way around this building, so that cuts some of the space out on the site. And also, the applicant is planning on putting all their equipment inside and storing it all inside. So it's really a preferable option to having outside storage, which has no parking requirements. So the options are either to have to cut the building size down and have outside storage with the same amount of parking stalls that are here now, or you can screen that unsightly storage inside the building and still maintain the number of parking stalls. They also have very few employees on the site. There's only 5 to 6 employees working at this location, even though the building size is large. They would only have 2 to 3 customers at the site per day, so that would leave nearly 20 parking stalls that won't be used daily on the site. So they're, again, they're requesting to reduce the requirement by 6 parking stalls. So in your motion, you would need to approve or deny a site plan and a conditional use permit for the reduction in parking. As I mentioned earlier, the existing building on the site was constructed in 2006, but never had a final inspection, never passed a final inspection or received occupancy. So the DRC is recommending that be a condition of approval that they receive occupancy for that building prior to the issuance of a building permit for the new building. And as far as landscaping, this plan includes 26% landscaping on site. You can see on the plan here. This here on the east side of the property along 700 West is already installed. It just needs to be cleaned up a little bit. I have some pictures here. You can see this is the existing building on the site, and here's the landscaping up front. So it's pretty nice for the industrial park, but it does need a little sprucing. So the remainder of the landscaping would be decorative gravel surrounding the building and bordering the parking lot, and also there would be some trees planted in that area. So the DRC is recommending approval of the site plan and conditional use permit. For a reduction in the parking requirement for Newport Tool located at approximately 735 North 700 West, subject to the following condition. A certificate of occupancy must be issued for the existing building on the site prior to issuance of a building permit for the proposed building. Do you have any questions for me?
So the existing building wouldn't comply currently?
To building code, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we have an inspection sheet. There were like three corrections, which were like a handrail and stuff, very small, minor things that needed, and Jerry would grant them final occupancy.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, I've got one. I see from your photograph there is a for sale sign or for rent, or who owns the property? And is all this permit and so forth contingent on them? Or explain ownership of the property.
I have listed on the application Bart Ellis that owns the property. Nate Lechenberg could probably talk more about whether they plan to lease or purchase.
Would you like to come forward, please, and state your name and for the record?
Okay. Nate Lechenberg. Since we've made the application, when I'm at the time of application, Bart Ellis still owned the property. He's a concrete contractor. Since that time, the proposed owner, Kevin Toomey, has taken possession of the property, so he's the sole owner at this point.
Okay.
Okay.
So this will fit your needs or the owner's needs for quite a while, and the parking requirement will be okay. If he ever wants to sell the property and somebody else wants to use it for something else, we're gonna have to deal with it then, or whoever is on the planning commission. So,
right.
All right. Got it.
And can I make one more comment?
Go ahead.
To that point, Kevin's aware of what he's getting himself into here, asking for the conditional use permit, and understands that it may have an effect on the value of the property down the road and might limit the number of people that could function out of the space.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Else for me?
Anything else? Thank you. Any other issues, questions?
I'll make a motion.
Sure.
All right. So I move that the Planning Commission approve the site plan, conditional use permit, and reduction in the parking requirement for Newport Tool, which will be located at approximately 735 North, 700 West, and subject to one condition, that a certificate of occupancy must be issued for the existing building on the site prior to issuance of a building permit for the proposed building.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Eric,
thank you.
Eric, will you make sure they all signed in?
Did you all sign in? In the back, okay.
Because they've been skipping that.
The mayor didn't.
He's new.
He's new here.
He's the mayor's a visitor.
All right. Now, what are we doing?
We got minutes.
Oh, yeah. We got approval of minutes. So the approval of minutes is for the February 26, 2013 meeting that I was not there. So that first thing where it says present me, I wasn't there.
Well, it says that they're
presented. And then the biggest challenge in today's meeting is you guys who were here have to figure out who made the motions to approve and second, because there's all question marks on those things.
I think I made the motion on the first item.
What was that?
I think I made the motion on the first item.
Okay. Does everybody accept that?
Let's do that.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does somebody second that though? That's
no. We don't want to. We'll do the whole thing after he does it. Okay. Are you getting this? Okay. Then what about who seconded it? Do you remember, Ted?
I'm not sure.
Was it to your right or left?
I think it might have been.
I think it was me.
Right.
The left.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was to his left. And
all right. So we'll say
Robert.
Robert.
Yes.
Robert, that's good. That's the first one. Second one, that was a consideration of a site plan and conditional use permit for a church at approximately 970 North Aberley Drive, Foxborough. Does anyone remember that? Who approved it?
I remember the discussion we had after the meeting was over about the church.
You're doing great on these fill-in-the-blank things, but I just didn't want you to be too stressed out that you have to identify. If we can't remember or we're not certain,
we don't
have to put the names in.
We're going to do it.
But we're trying.
I know you're determined, and it's okay. And it's okay if it's wrong.
Little,
because
what is that
no
little,
who would
is
know,
that
right?
little thing
right.
that could, the
I
little train that could or something?
I think it was
now
me.
When you agree with it, it probably
yeah.
But I just, I didn't want you to stress out.
Go Commissioner Mumford.
I think I made the second.
All right, we're going with Ryan.
Okay, you moved.
I think Kim seconded.
Kim seconded.
I actually believe that's correct.
Okay, good.
I did.
That's good.
We did that. Then the biggie. Oh, no, that's us today.
Yeah. Who would have
no,
been in charge?
Oh, no.
That's
the previous.
Right.
So well, that now, who approved the minutes of the February 12th, the meeting before?
All right. I did two meetings while you were gone. This was the first meeting and then
the next
the
one,
12th.
Which
can
we're
I
not
direct?
Seeing.
We don't have those minutes yet.
From
no.
the 12th?
We're a couple of...
So on the 12th, who approved the meeting? Who approved the minutes for the 12th and the 26th? Who's the culprit?
Bruce did
one.
Maybe I. Let's say I did. I think
Bruce
I did.
Right.
I think
Bruce
I did.
Did.
Bruce
did. And who seconded
Bruce.
It? Left or right of you? Left.
Who can take a turn? We got. This
yeah.
You weren't here. I wasn't here. So can
I'll
be
do
us
it.
Two.
Yeah. I'll do it.
All right.
Okay, Robert.
I'll bring the punch.
Did you get that?
Okay.
Who did you say seconded?
Bring call.
All right. So then are there any other, besides who, are there any other corrections?
No, just the first, the very first line.
Yeah, the very first line, because Eric wasn't here.
I wasn't here, because I did not call the meeting to order. I was in Florida.
Oh.
Yeah, Eric.
Okay, so let's get rid of all that. And so it would have been you.
Yeah, why don't you say commission vice chairman? Yes.
Okay.
I expected to do this one, and then it was a surprise that Eric didn't show up for the next one.
I called. I called in.
Yeah,
I
nobody told us. We just didn't.
Called
in here.
I called Ken.
Anyway, there were two
knew.
In a row. There were two in a row.
An absence?
No,
I get an absence? This is bad. It's like
yeah.
at Woods Cross, they expel you after so many of these. At Woods Cross,
so
they expel you after
I'm
so many of these.
I'm vice chairman, and I called it to order about 6:33.
They expel
or
you at Woods Cross for so many of these absences.
I think you get an S.
And then the very last line.
There you go.
That's
what it was.
Or an
yep,
end.
I know.
Or an end.
Mm-hmm.
Very last line
that.
Of the.
All right. So everything's good.
Okay. The adjournment was also.
Okay. Who wants to approve them?
Okay. And we're just.
Who wants to make a motion?
Right?
Oh, please. I'd be happy to make a motion that we approve the amendments as amended.
Okay. Robert approved them.
I'll second.
Ryan seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. And the March.
12th.
12th are not in front of us, so.
We're not doing
yeah.
those. Yeah.
We're not doing them.
Right.
Not doing them.
Good.
Sorry. That's my fault.
All right. We're going
to. No, it's good right now just to blame everything on me because I'm totally good with that.
Well, I wasn't even here to blame anybody, so. Don't
yeah, worry we were that. Still trying to figure out where Eric was.
Yeah,
all right.
Probably
know.
Carry that over.
So, what? So let's adjourn. We're going to adjourn the meeting, or
yeah, for you
want to do
a
part of the meeting? Okay.
We'd have to notice.
All right. I've invited. There was a bunch of emails that came across my email. I'm not sure about all of yours, but I think your names were on many of them, and mostly between Mayor and Bruce. And Stuart, city councilman, and we were in the loop. And so I suggested to the mayor the other day in an email, and he graciously accepted that he had a meeting tonight, but he's came back from it apparently. And I told him maybe after the meeting. So, Mayor, you're so give us the spiel, whatever you can tell us.
Set us straight.
Set us straight.
Yeah. Well, I think. What I'd like to do is just kind of go back and just go through a little history so that I'm going to take my jacket off. And some of you already know this stuff, probably most of you do. and some of you may not have been as involved, but that just when I was campaigning, one of the themes that came up all of the time was we want a grocery store out on the west side. In fact, it was funny. Stuart Harmon was running at the same time. I got an email from a lady that says, I understand we're voting for grocery stores. I don't like Smith's. I don't like Albertson's, but I really like that Harmon guy, Harmon thing. So, but anyway, that came up, and there were talks about where a grocery store would go. Some people thought it would go on Fifth South Legacy. Some thought we might be able to get it outside of Foxborough at the entrance there. And then we started the master plan and started to talk about things and some of the things that were missing in our city. And one of the things that came up was shopping. And Ken and Barry, as they came in and looked at things, started focusing on that center street on the old gun club. We'll call it the gun club property.
Does everyone know where that is?
That's Center Street and Redwood Road, okay. Basically, that southwest quadrant there. And as we talked, that seemed to be the spot that we could get some retail in the city. And the type of grocery store was at one time an issue. We had Bob Springmeyer come in as part of our planning process. And he looked at it. He said, basically, this is what you can have. You can either have a big superstore, or you could maybe get some kind of a micro store. I asked him where those micro stores are, and he says there aren't a lot of them around, but they're starting to do them in urban settings, and that didn't seem like a real great idea. So anyway, we focused on that area. At the same time, as we were looking at things, there were other things that were going on as well. You know, they talked about a grocery store going in on Fifth South. Woods Cross and West Bountiful came in to do a CDA similar to ours, and what they plan on doing there is a technology park. I think they, when you look at that location for them, it's so close to Costco, so close to the Centerville things, being on and off that off-ramp, but Legacy doesn't do any shopping, any really good there. And so as I looked at it, it seemed like the best place for retail really on the west side was our parcel. And I think, you know, Bruce sent some things back, but and I think it goes to a large planning process. If we want retail on the west side, then really our parcel is probably going to be the parcel where it's most likely to happen. Not to say it couldn't happen somewhere else, but like I said, Woods Cross, West Bountiful have already come in with what, you know, they're doing a CDA on technology park. Centerville has done a CDA on Parish Lane between the freeway and Legacy. And that'll have retail, that'll be competitive. But that's a good 5 miles away from our location, which makes it, it fits in the parameters of some of the big boxes. One of the things that I think as a planning commission we need to think about is if we don't have shopping on the west side, what's really going to happen to those neighborhoods in the long term? And I don't know, but I think you can guess as, you know, those subdivisions get older and older and people realize that they're going to have to drive, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, 20 minutes to a store every time they want to. I think it's going to start affecting property values, and that'll affect, you know, the quality of the project. And it's just, I think in the long run, if we don't try and get some commercial there, I think it'll be detrimental to the housing on that west side. Now, as we looked at it, we went through the planning. We said, this is probably the best place for that to go. Are there three property owners down there? Yes. There are three property owners down there. There are one large one that owns a significant amount of the property. And then there are two other properties down there that have been declared blighted. We went to Vic Kimball, who owns the majority of it, and said, would you be willing to sponsor the project? And Ken, you need to correct me if I'm wrong on any of this stuff, because this is, we went to Vic and said, we want you to sponsor this project. And he said, good, that's what I do. I've held this property for a fair amount of time. I think I'd like to do something. At the same time, you know, during those conversations, basically what we asked him to do was go buy the other two blighted property owners out, fix up the property, and, you know, try and get some kind of good retail project there. It's not cheap. Those are, they're not great properties. And I think one of the things that's important for us to understand right now, as I talked to Barry, he said everybody has windows of opportunities for these projects. And I think the real reason we have a window of opportunity now is because we have projects that have been there for a very, very long time. And the owners really haven't invested any money in them. And so at some point in time, they have to decide, am I going to start investing money in them and trying to improve the properties and make them worth more? Or am I willing to just bail on the whole thing, sell them to Vic Kimball, and get this project together? Now, they've talked to the property owners, and I think they're there. Our window of opportunity is this. I think once people start improving those properties, then it's going to be too expensive to really do anything. And then I think we're going to be trapped in to probably just an expansion of our industrial park there. As I've met with Vic a couple of times, and as I've talked to him, what he said is, you know, I think retail's a good idea. You know, I think I've had that in mind for a long time. But by the time I go out and buy these properties and tear the properties down and approach a retailer, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to get this property to work, how we're going to make it viable. And so there have been various iterations, but to help him make that viable, the city has talked about doing a CDA. Are we a CDA or an RDA or what are
right
we talking
now,
about?
Right now it's an EDA.
I don't, are I we know, doing
and,
an EDA?
And we're preparing the documents needed to do a CDA.
Okay, so we've done an EDA basically, which means we have...
What does that even mean, EDA and CDA? I know what an RDA is.
An EDA means that if we need to use the power of eminent domain, we could do that. We declared blight, and so we could do that. Right now, we're not even talking about it because basically the property owners are all being reasonable. They say, yeah, it makes sense, and I have this ratty old building, and I can have a ratty old building someplace else, maybe for cheaper. And so they're willing to sell their property and get out and move, and we can do something.
I would just add that the CDA option allows the city to enter into tax increment financing arrangements with other taxing entities.
Right, and so the CDA will be coming. Like I said, Centerville at Legacy has already done a CDA, and they're doing 40% increment financing. The same thing with West Bountiful and Woodcross at Fifth South and Legacy. We've done, here at the Gravel Pit, we did a CDA. Usually they're for places that have unusual things where they're a redevelopment tool where if you don't do something, nothing's going to happen. Now, what it basically means is if Vic Kimball goes in and gets all this together, the taxing entities, the city, the county, the school district, are going to get millions of dollars over the next 10 years. And Vic's saying, look, if I go in and do this, you guys are going to get millions of dollars, and the way it looks right now is I'm going to lose money. And so what the CDA allows us to do is say we're going to share those increased tax revenues with who's doing it. And I realize that some people have just an opposition to that. But it's a fact of the matter right now in our county, Other people, other cities are doing it, and I think we want to be competitive. And it will actually increase the revenues to the city, the school district. And each taxing entity gets to look at it and say, yeah, we think it'll bring us more money, we'll buy off on it or we won't. And if they think it's in their economic best interest, then they'll do it. And right now, everybody seems to be doing it in the county, and you can get them through. Now, that might not always be the case. And so we've done a CDA. We've talked about doing a CDA. The city's planning on doing a CDA to help take care of this blight issue that's there. And we think it will be in the long-term best interest of the city. Now, the second thing that's going in is exactly what we're going to do there. I think Vic has 80-plus acres. Is that right?
60.
60 acres. And then there's how much of the
UDOT?
UDOT.
About 21 after that.
So there's probably 80 acres down there. Right now we have it all zoned commercial, and we have across the street zoned commercial. I guess someday you could theorize that that much commercial could be used, but you'd have to be – it's not going to happen. Realistically, there's only going to be so much demand for commercial out there. And so Vic's saying, I want to develop it. Now, I can't do commercial in front and do industrial in back. The retail, any retail store that's looking at it just doesn't want that. It's just not, it's not uses that go together. The uses that go together are going to be commercial and some type of residential. And it's going to be some apartments, more than likely, and some single-family housing. And so what Vic is proposing, and we have no idea exactly what it's going to be, but he wants an economically viable project for him to be able to do this. And he said to me, he said to us, look, if you don't want me to do this, then at least let me do the industrial. I think the industrial is a mistake for our city in the long term. And I think it's a mistake for West Side residents in the long term. They worry about property values with, more apartments going in. And I understand all of that. But I think we need to stop and think, if we don't have a complete community out there, it's just going to be problematic in the long term. And so Vic says what is economical, as he's looking at it, is some combination of retail up front, probably some apartment units, and some single-family residences. And, you know, who knows? There may be some apartment building, some business buildings or whatever. And I think the preference is usually from a developer standpoint, if, you know, the residential is probably going to be on the left, you could get a nice apartment or a nice business complex there, he'd do it, but you know, the market is what the market is. But that's what he's looking at. The other thing that was brought up was the type of housing there. Ivory's the one that's proposing to do it. And there was some misunderstanding. As I had talked to mayors, and I'm on the rec district board, you don't schedule the parks, or maybe you schedule, I don't know who schedules the parks, but there's always demand for our parks. There's not enough place for kids, for the rec leagues to do their soccer and their football and their lacrosse and all the other things that they did. And so I thought if we could get a couple more playing fields down there, that would be a benefit to the city as well. Now, it'll be expensive. I'm not sure that we can afford it, but we have to look at it. And so I suggested that they plan in a couple of parks because I thought it would be a good amenity for the community. I thought it would make it more complete. There was some misunderstanding that had come from the developer, and because the developer was doing it, it would be low-end apartments. But we understand that the apartments will be Ivory, or it's ICO. I've done the things in Farmington Station. I haven't really gone down and looked at them, but I understand they're nice, and it'd be similar product to what's down there. One point in time, they talked about four stories. We haven't seen any plans, so we don't know for sure. But what I hear is there will be similar to the Farmington Station, which are nice apartments.
Mayor?
Yeah.
Why don't you
just mention that the significance of four-story is that it would require an elevator.
Right. It would require elevator.
Price point on those.
Increase the price point, and it would make it more amenable to seniors.
So far, they've represented that they would be three-story buildings.
Originally, they talked about four stories. Lately, to be real honest, it's been three. But again, we haven't seen plans, so we don't know. Now, there is a lot of hair on this project. And I know probably we're... I hate to create discord with the council, and my emails have only been sent to you and council members, and I didn't want to really start getting in a tit-for-tat with citizens, but I wanted... We're your policymakers. I wanted you to at least be informed and understand what's going on. I understand wanting to get citizens involved, but when we start getting citizens involved, we're going to have to take... it's hard not to take a stand at that point in time. Now, there's enough hair on this project coming out right now that I don't know that I'd want to support it or not. You're on the commission. Brian's on the council. It's pretty hard to know to go out to some place and say, I'm going to support it, I'm not going to support it. It's just so early until you get the actual details to really start having conversations, you know, with a lot of the community. And it was with that in mind that I, you know, sent the email to Stuart. And again, I respect Stuart a lot. He's doing a great job on the council. I just think we're getting started on this too soon until we actually know what's going to be there. I'd really hate to be in a position where I go out and support it now, and then the proposal comes in, and I'd say, holy smokes, that's not going to work at all. That's kind of the facts that we know right now and what we're looking. Yes, he's going to propose apartments. Yes, there is a letter of intent from a big box retailer. That being said, one of the issues that he's dealing with is big box retailers understand that if they go in and spend a bunch of money on a store, all of the property owners around them end up with a windfall. And so they come in and say, look, everybody else is ending up with a windfall on this. We want a good deal on the ground. And Vic's saying, okay, you guys want me to go in, buy property that's blighted, tear the buildings down, sell it to the big box retailer at a significant discount. I can't get the numbers to work. And right now, that's the biggest problem that we have, is trying to figure out how he can get the numbers to work. He would just as soon not sell it to the big box retailer and sell it to somebody that would pay a little bit more. But the fact of the matter is, the market is what the market is. That location right there will hit Rose Park. You know, they're looking at that. It'll hit Centerville. I mean, it'll hit Woods Cross, West Bountiful. It will actually be closer for those of us that live on the east side than trying to go down to Centerville. Once you hit 2600 South, it's still a mile or two closer, and you don't have to fight the Centerville traffic when you get down there. So they're hoping to draw a big ring, hit east side residents, west side residents, and appeal to a lot of people. That's what they're going to, they think, at least when we talked to Springmeier, who, you know, worked with us, he said that's really what it's going to take to get something there. I don't think the developer's being unreasonable, and I realize some people just have a hard time using tax increment financing or any kind of government financing. But, again, the developer is right. The taxing entities are going to get millions of dollars on this, and to use part of that to try and make the project work, I think seems reasonable. I think I've told you everything I know.
Can I just add one thing, Ken? and the big box retailer is correct
in that it'll be a windfall for the project to have them there, and they can get higher rents from the people. And an example in the retail world is Nordstrom. Nordstrom goes into malls. Nordstrom does not pay rent anywhere at all. And the mall, you think, well, that's crazy for a mall to put Nordstrom in. No, because they can charge the little boutique next to Nordstrom twice as much because Nordstrom's there. And it's the same principle here. And I've dealt with a couple of projects that had used tax increment financing, and I'm about as little government as it gets. And to me, tax increment financing makes perfect sense because it is a windfall for the school district to have me improve my property. And so that's just the natural thing, to go to the school district and say, you ought to kick in some. If I've got to put in new sewer lines and infrastructure, and you're going to be the beneficiary of that through property taxes, why don't you help pay for it? And that's basically tax increment financing.
Mayor, I have a question. How long is the tax increment financing or the TIF going to last? Is it a 10-year agreement? Is it a 20-year agreement? Is that decided?
No, I don't
think
we know the details yet. We talked about it, and we have a consultant on our side that's helping us know the numbers.
Yeah.
And we think that if a big box retailer goes in, it will have an effect from I-215 down to 1100 North. It will have a positive effect all the way down to there.
So I was mentioning to the Planning Commission earlier that there's a Foxborough Facebook group that sprung up this week. there's hundreds of residents on it, hundreds of comments. Stuart and Matt have been trying to answer as many questions as possible. And seeing on there, a lot of people have expressed concern that a big box retailer will enter the area, live there for 10 years. When the TIF is up, they will leave, and we'll have a giant vacant building in our city. Do you want to answer that or comment on that?
Yeah, the TIF isn't going to the big box retailer. The TIF is going to the developer to try and make the project work. The big box retailer. Sorry, it's not Nordstrom's, by the way. I can say that. The big box retailer has not approached us on any kind of revenue sharing or anything. The developer has done it. And I think it's really important, again, to note, you know, some people may say, you know, why worry about it now? The fact of the matter is we have those buildings that have been there for a long time. It's really tough to make the economics work right now. But if somebody goes in there and says, you know what, I have a crummy building, I'm going to have a hard time renting it out, I'm going to put another million or $2 million into my building trying to make it, a suitable business, you know, so that I can increase my rents, it's just going to make it all the harder. I think the important part of the window is now that those buildings really haven't had anything done on them for years is what it looks like. Probably, you know, they were thinking that someday this had come along. But if, you know, we have somebody that's interested in doing it and it looks like the pieces will fall together now, and then for some reason we kill it, then you can only expect those guys to say, I'll need to do something else with my product. Vic has said to me, said to the city, he'll do three things with the project. He's thinking of three things. One, he's willing to try and help make this project work. And I hope you guys understand that it's difficult for him when you have a big box retailer that wants a great deal on the property and you have to go buy two pieces and you have to tear them down. It's the economics are tough. Two, he says, if you're not going to do that, then at least let me expand the industrial park, and you know I'll go ahead and do industrial. And we told him that, look, it's zoned commercial for a reason. We think that's the best use for it, and it makes the most sense. I don't know the city. We have a big industrial park. They have two, another one on the other side of Legacy. I don't know that we need another one, but again, that would be the powers that be that decide. The third one, he says, you know, the other thing I can do is, you know, if it's too hard, I'll just stick it in Greenbelt, which means everybody's property taxes go down. And, you know, we just deal with it at some other time. I don't know that he'll really do that, but if you don't let him do anything else, I don't know what else he can do. And I don't know that it's fair to a developer to say, you know, not leave him any choices. You know, he's gonna, if he can bring a plan that he can put together that we like, that it's reasonable. There's hair on it. I mean, nobody's gonna get everything they want on this thing. But if he can get something we can swallow, then, you know, let's swallow. And if he can't, then he can't, and we'll see where we go.
Another question, sorry. Yeah. So a lot of people have expressed concern that, you know, I want to see the proposal. I'm really excited. I think that it's a junk of a space right now. I mean, we have an old gun club sign and a bunch of tankers sitting there dripping oil. Yep. I'm sure it's a problem. So we don't like it now, but they've expressed concern that, okay, we get the proposal, and then are we stuck? You know, there was that the zoning move in the last month. They're worried that, okay, this shows up, and now we're stuck. How much negotiating or changing once the plan is presented by the developer? Is there any wiggle room?
The way that planning works, and I think you guys looked at it, and you can disagree with me, is that we're going to have to come up with an agreement of everything that we want. And, yeah, once we get the agreement and we sign off on it, we say, yep, this is the agreement, then, yep, we're stuck. But, I mean, if he comes forward with a plan and we don't like it, we don't have to agree to anything.
Yeah, and I would just add that the ordinance was written, this was specifically written in the ordinance, that it happens through a rezoning process together with a plan.
And go to the mic.
And it's and it's at the total discretion of the governing body. So no one's going to have to jump off a cliff. Well, we're all jumping off a cliff, but the cliff gets a little smaller by the way that the ordinance was written, because the city should, by that time, the city council should have a negotiated entitlement in front of them with all the details worked out, and we should be able to know exactly what we're entering into.
On those.
And as the mayor said, we don't have to. If we don't like the plan, we don't have to approve it.
I'm still learning the differences here. What power does the Planning Commission have in that negotiating process, and what power does the City Council have? Do we make a recommendation to the City Council, and then they affirm it or change it, or how does that work?
Yeah, some parts of this application are clearly under the purview of the Planning Commission's role as an advisory body to the Council. Some parts of the project are not under your purview, and so I'll try to identify those for you as we bring it through the Planning Commission. But it's most honest to say not every piece or every part of this is in the Planning Commission's purview or your statutory role.
Is the CDA part? Will we see that come before us?
No.
Okay. What would be the...
Well, you'll see... The CDA goes before the City Council and the Redevelopment Agency.
Okay.
To the extent that there's planning matters, you know, I think that it would be in our... We would be well served to share those with you as they come forward. But statutorily, when we talk about... legal documents in a redevelopment project area, we're really talking about the planning or the City Council and the Redevelopment Agency.
Does that mean that realistically for the Planning Commission, the first thing we may see of this is a site plan?
No, you'll see a conceptual plan.
Okay, we will.
You'll see the rezoning application, so the public hearing will happen at this level.
Okay.
And you will, in all likelihood, you'll see the agreement, because it's an integral part of the application, the way that the ordinance was adopted by the council.
And as I said, I will try to identify for you the pieces that you don't necessarily have a recommending role for.
Will it be pretty similar to what we went through with the Eaglewood Village?
Yes.
Be really similar to that.
Very.
Okay.
Almost identical.
Now there, Ryan, you asked about wiggle room. The original concept was condos, and the wiggle room was we got apartments. So there's some wiggle room.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what you meant.
Yeah, I mean wiggle room.
That is.
Way.
I have a certain slant on things. I think developers promise the world, and then they build you crap. That's kind of the way it goes.
Well, and there was give and take there. Again,
yeah.
Before we let them do the apartments, they agreed to redo Highway 89 out here for us. And anybody that commutes from Salt Lake certainly appreciates the
yeah.
fact that they went in and spent money to do that. So is that there's give and take in all of
this.
Well,
and the world changed.
The world changed.
I agree.
You know.
2007.
Yeah, they built condos there, basically. I think they're planning at some point when the market changes again to sell those.
Yeah.
Those condos. I mean, they're condos built to condo specs.
I think the anticipation is that we will learn something from how we structured the last CDA, structure this one perhaps a little bit differently, so that the CDA may be triggered upon them doing certain things. But again, there's enough hair on this right now that it's pretty hard to take a position. I can certainly see proposals that I would be in favor of. And I can see proposals that I'd have a hard time supporting. And I just hate to be forced, and maybe I'm being, weak or weaselly or whatever you want to call it. I just hate to be forced to take a stand on something right now when I really don't know what I'm taking a stand on. And there's enough moving parts out there. It's not like Vic isn't being reasonable. When he came in the first, I can't say he is being reasonable either. He came in, the initial request is for 1,100 apartments, I think, or 1,050 or something. And then it came dropped down to 720, and then it went down to 550, and now it's, 500. And we're talking about parks, and, he's talking about adding some other pieces in it. And I could see something that could be very beneficial to the city. At the same time, I think that we need to be careful with what we're doing, and I don't think we want to be end up with something we're going to be sorry with. So, anyway, thank you for letting me spend some time with you.
Mayor, I just want to make one more comment. This is like deja vu all over again, to quote Yogi, but... maybe 12 years ago, the Planning Commission and the City Council was taken out to a heavy industrial 1,000-acre plot, and the developers said, we can't develop this in our lifetime. We're talking at least 50 years out before anything happens here. We'd like to change the zoning, and they came up with this mixed-use commercial, residential, even apartment called Foxborough, and... this was a game changer for the whole city, and there were people against it. And one commissioner on the Planning Commission resigned. He was furious about it because we took a potential tax base for the city and gave it away to the developers. And then the arguments came in, well, what's going to happen down the road? We're going to build some starter homes, and then people are going to move out, and it'll turn into rentals, and then we'll have Rose Park North and all those arguments. So, well, we took a leap of faith, and for the most part, what's happened out there has been very good. And this is another game changer for the whole city. And I'm not smart enough to sit here and say, boy, this is the best thing that's ever happened in North Salt Lake, but it could be a very good thing. And I'm willing to move forward with the process and see what we get presented. And I'm ready to say no if it isn't good for us in the end. But gee, at least let's get there and see. And I'm already getting those. Well, if it's this kind of a superstore, I'm okay with that. But if it's a big super, I don't want that. And, right. And you know, no, we're just going to kind of take what we get and see what if we can live with it.
We're not, and I get the feeling from what you've told us, there is no proposal, there's no store yet mentioned. Because people are already starting to comment on names. Like Brian said, I like a Macy's, but I don't like a Harmon's. I like this. I don't like that.
I know that there is a letter of intent from a big box store.
Okay.
I have had discussions with that big box store, and they've asked me not to mention a name.
Okay,
and
that's
so
fair.
I won't do that. I'm sorry.
Bye. It's not. I'll tell you something. It's not a big secret if you dig it all. There's lots of people that can tell you what it is.
So I just want to add, I'm pretty sure everyone on the Planning Commission knows I'm not a fan of apartments on the west side. I mean, you know, we went through the general plan.
Yeah,
I had it removed. I'm sure you guys all know that. I'm also not a fan, like I said, of empty buildings and tankers being stored there and a big weed field. And I do think the property can be used for something much better than it is. And so I'm really excited to see the proposal. On that note, I'm also really nervous. And I think I'm pretty good at balancing all of my neighbors and answering questions and trying to stay independent. But there is a huge groundswell already of distress over apartments going in there. And, you know, I mean, we saw it before when there was the rezoned of Foxborough Village and the RAC and things in the past. So, you know, I think that there's going to be an issue with that. And so I'm really excited to see the plan, and I really want to see it, but I'm getting nervous that it's not going to be what we want.
Can I just make a point? A few months ago, I was sitting here going, there's no way on earth that I'm going to vote for apartments in Foxborough North. And the Foxborough North residents came in here and lobbied us because there was benefits that came with those apartments that they liked.
And yeah, and Foxborough South didn't want it.
No, because they didn't get the benefits.
Yeah, and they were very, very mad. And so I agree, there's give and take. And I remember when we had discussions on this, you know, I think the landowner should be able to make money. And I think he should be able to build what he wants, and that there should be some sort of there, but it shouldn't be at the detriment of everyone around him.
Yeah.
So there's probably some number that's the right number. And so, you know, I'm not saying that he builds one apartment unit and the whole thing is a flop, but, you know, there's probably a number that's too high.
And I think part of the thing we need to look at is, are there other things we can do to alleviate some of the concerns? I know Foxborough, you know, the whole thing came up when Foxborough happened to be the week Foxborough went on year-round school or got notified or something. But we went and talked to the school district, and I think that school is scheduled to start in 2014. You know, I know there are worries about crime, but I got news for you. If you want to look at crime, go out and look in that industrial park. I mean, there are a lot of people that like to go out there and do a lot of mischief. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm probably speaking at a school, but there's probably as much crime per square foot there as there are in our residential neighborhoods, if not more.
Well, and if someone is suspected or knows in the apartments, it's easy to get rid of them.
Right.
If they're a homeowner in Foxborough, they got to be caught. There's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
It's hard to predict exactly what apartments might be like, but there are some myths, I think, about relationship between apartments and property values.
Definitely.
That there's not a clear relationship between apartment construction and a decrease in neighborhood property values. If there's an on-site manager, unless there's a big concentration of poverty, which is very likely not going to, would not be the case here. I think that there's some myths that we need to watch out for.
I think the price point is more important than the number of apartments.
Right. Well, and the complaints we've heard are, you know, the school's already too crowded. I think we're addressing that. Reducing property values. I think if you're really worried about property values, I'd be worried about not having any commercial out on the west side, period.
I agree.
Because if you have to start driving and there's no hope for any commercial out there, I think that your property values are going to suffer. If you're worried about crime, you know, we have the good landlord policy. We can get rid of those. You know, I think we can do things to ameliorate that. And by no means, if you do industrial there, are you safe from crime. So, you know, I think we just, if there are issues, we can discuss them. I don't think that means that because, oh, we may have a problem with it, we throw up our hands and say, it'll never work. We sit down and we say, is there something we can do to address the problem outside of it to make this thing work? And, you know, I hope there are.
One thing I was going to say is, as I think I see our piece as educators as well, because I think most constituents, I mean, I didn't, and that's how I got involved in a lot of politics from, you know, local to state to federal government issues. So most constituents don't understand the process. And so I think we can be helpful in educating them about the process of how this is going to happen. And they also don't understand the give and take. And that's not just in government. There's a lot of give and take in government. And, of course, we can all agree or disagree on some of those points as we support certain leaders. But there's give and take in marriage, in families. And so I feel it's a responsibility that we're educating them to understand there's going to be give and take. They have said so many times, so many of the Foxborough people, we don't want apartments, but we want retail. And I sense or feel from that they think they can get exactly how they want it. And so they're taking stances instead of trying to help the process to benefit the whole. So maybe that's a good position for us, just to try to help them understand and be receptive to them listening. I mean, even, was it Tom, whoever, up on the hill, that was so angry and threatening and about that whole development? And I remember just emailing him and saying, we love to hear from constituents. We love to hear your opinion. The way you're presenting it isn't being very receptive because of the way you're presenting it. We want to hear that. And he did tone it down, and he did, you know, talk in a kinder way. And so I really think we need to do that along the way, just help people understand, not to get so, you know, aggressive in their stance.
Can I just go over one more thing? In Stuart's email, and this is, there were some emotional things that just kind of, it said we were going to buy the property and then sell it. And where that came from was from staff saying, look, we have a hard time, you know, we're going to have a hard time with the economics on this project, getting something together. And they said, if we run the sale through the city, that could generate some tax benefits to the developer and help him. And so they came to the council and said, do you have a problem with us approaching the developer? And this is one of the things. We'll run the transaction through the city, and where you're selling maybe the property at a discount, you can get some additional tax benefits from contributing it. That's where the whole thing started, but I don't think it went anywhere. And as of right now, we're not. It's not the plan to buy the property and sell it and give the property away. I think that was just a misunderstanding. I know it doesn't sit well with people, but really it was more just trying to be creative and think of things on, you know, how we can get the project to be economical.
So we could help minimize some of the emotion, too, just with knowing we don't have details.
The mayor's absolutely right, but I just wanted the Planning Commission, since we were trying to explain some of these things, the CDA and the Redevelopment Agency of the city, and the collection of tax increment financing does have the ability to purchase and assemble property, as the mayor said, to condemn property and include it. But I wanted to make it clear that one of the statutory powers that the redevelopment agency could have is to use future tax increment financing to participate in land transactions. And so I just didn't want you to think we couldn't do that. Not that you did, but it's not in this proposal. So in fact, we don't have a final proposal. So.
Ken, while you're there, I got a question.
I was trying to make it more clear. I think maybe I muddied it a little. Sorry.
You're doing fine. Twice the mayor has said that if we don't have shopping out there, he thinks it's going to have a negative effect on property values out there. Well, you're a city planner. I know Allie is, and Ted, I think, is in the middle of all this kind of thing. You're professionals in this. Tell me what you think.
I think that predicting property value movement is the furthest thing away from science that I've ever run across, and yet is one of the most commonly asked questions that planners get. So I think it is true that that not having a large concentration of retail, convenience retail, like grocery shopping, will have an impact long-term over the desirability of people to locate in that area. And so whether that translates into lower property values, it probably would. Property values may continue to increase, but they may not increase as much. I think generally speaking over time, property values are increasing. But that's a real concern, and I think it's true. What the mayor said is absolutely true, that it begins over time. It will affect people's decisions about where they move and where they build and where they want to live. That's how we all make those decisions.
And I just have one thing to add to that to support that notion, is that nationwide, the parts of metro areas that are declining in value relative to their peers are close in suburbs that don't have a lot of amenities. So they don't have high desirable commercial. They don't have good access to parks and open space. They don't have good transit access. So they have good proximity to downtown, but they're basically bedroom communities with not a lot of amenities. Those are the locations nationwide that are suffering and that are on their way down. They're the ghettos of the next 20 or 30. I mean, I'm sort of exaggerating for effect, but I mean, what we don't want, and I'm not drawing a close comparison between Foxborough and those cases, because I think Foxborough has some amenities built in, but I think it just attests to the fact that if we don't try to provide that key additional amenity that residents want, that there is some risk.
Probably a great example of that is South Salt Lake. For the last 20 years, it's been declining.
I want to hear Allie.
They had to reinvent themselves, and became all shopping now. Really,
dazzle us, Allie.
Allie.
Oh, I'll dazzle you. You can hear my opinion as a planner and also as a renter. So I could potentially be someone who would live in this project. I think that when I'm looking for a place to live, I'm looking for something that has all those amenities that Ken was talking about. I think desirability is the key point there, that people aren't going to want to buy a house and establish somewhere where they have to drive 20 minutes to get to the grocery store. They don't want to have to cross railroad tracks to fill their car up with gas or buy a gallon of milk. And so I think from my experience, that's how I determine where I want to live to rent, and also how I would want to buy. And so I imagine that would have, you know, the exact same effect on the property values, that people wouldn't want to buy, and therefore you'd have to lower your selling costs. So,
can I just add one really quick thing, that on the flip side, not the property declining way of looking at it, but the property values going up perspective, there is a large body of evidence that preferences for living in an amenity rich place where you can walk to purposeful destinations, that is growing dramatically in preference. So there's a lot of that evidence out there, and I could bring some of that to share with the council. So there's a lot of people that want to live in these places when you can get to commercial easily, walk a bike or a short drive.
And I don't want any, I think this is probably, I mean, if we can get it together, I think this is the best solution for us. If we can't get it put together, I don't think it means we give up. I don't think we'll end up with the big bucks there. I mean, like I said, I think we have a window right here now. If we push, we might get it. If we can't get it put together, then maybe we look at a micro grocery store or something. I mean, it may be possible. It's just not happening yet, and so I don't want to give the impression that we're going to give up.
I got one more question
on Foxborough. If we don't get this put together, I mean, we will try and do things to develop the community and make it work. But I really worry that we're going to put a nail in this coffin. I mean, put a nail in this thing, and we're going to be sorry. I think it deserves a lot of consideration if we can get a proposal out of the developer. And we still have a long ways to go there, I think.
And yet the motion's already building so much.
That's
what we've got to be conscious of, I think.
What is the experience of, I've asked this question several times and I haven't done enough research on my own, but some of you know, I think, far better than I, what's been going on in West Bountiful. What's been their experience? I've heard everything from, oh boy, it's been a great windfall for them, and oh man, they're never going to get, they are not going to swim out of this for years. You know,
West Bountiful, they kind of, they, I don't know what kind of deal Costco got, but West Bountiful's big problem is that they entered into a deal with Bountiful, and so even though Costco's in West Bountiful, somehow Bountiful is ending up with a reasonable portion of the tax receipts that are there. Bountiful's biggest problem was that they had a problem with the refinery where they had over-assessed some taxes, and that put them in a little bit of a hole when the tax commission came and said, you have to repay Holly Refinery several hundred thousand dollars. For a community their size, it was a problem. But talking to them, they think, you know, that's almost paid off. I've talked to Mayor Romney, and he doesn't have any problems with it, other than, unfortunately, they gave away some of their sales tax receipts to Bountiful that they wish they wouldn't have.
Naturally. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate it, and I guess we'll be, one more quickly.
Calmly moving forward.
This came up in some of the emails that I read. The staff has not crossed into the sales tax rebate territory. You brought up West Bountiful. So far, we've been working only in the realm of tax increment financing. And I doubt, and I don't want to be too definitive, but I doubt that the staff will make a recommendation to dip into sales tax, to give sales tax to someone or some entity to make this work. I don't know if that helps you, but there is a distinct line there, and I don't think the staff's willing to cross it. So,
One other thing I was thinking of as well, and just, you know, being informed, is one thing that's helped me is that booklet we got in training, helping citizens understand what our role is and is not as a planning commissioner, because they really get emotional and they see you taking sides, and there are just times we have to do it the way we are trained to do it. We can't, it's not the same as what city council does. And so if they understand, again, that process and what our role is or is not, it can deflate some of the emotion. I found that with a number of things, if I just say, look, this is my role, and here it is in this book, this is what I can do and what I won't, you know, and then they go, oh, I didn't realize that. And so, shoom, they just kind of, it goes down a little bit. Anyway.
Okay.
Good discussions, guys.
Good discussion. Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate your work and your efforts. We appreciate the staff. It's going to be,
thank you.
I'm sure we'll be hearing more in the future, so thank you. All right, meeting adjourned.
Bruce, I was going to answer your question on property tax values.
But I did get in trouble.
The way the Fed's printing money, they will go up dramatically.
My wife is mad. I voted for the...
No.
Now, some will lag behind the rest.
That's why they always rise, yeah. That's why houses after World War II were $5,000,
yeah.